We all love flying, but being a frequent flyer can definitely take its toll on the environment. Luckily, App in the Air makes it easy to offset your carbon footprint, and it's so much cheaper than I expected it to be. For example, 2 round-trip flights from Athens to Mykonos only cost me $1 to offset. Best of all, the offset will code as a travel purchase, so you will earn those bonus points. Check out App in the Air and get 20% off of your next flight when you book directly through the app by using the code GeoBreeze at checkout. Thank you to App in the Air for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipina-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
With food, it can be a big budget, especially if you like to eat and you like to eat good food. So sometimes, like, if we really wanted to go somewhere like in Dubrovnik, they're really known for their oysters. So we, you know, one day we didn't do as much, you know, we kind of just like walked around the town and did a few things that didn't cost a lot of money. And then we went and had like a $65 oyster dinner that evening. So it's kind of all a give and take. When you have one budget, then that allows you some flexibility instead of saying, you know, we're spending $60 a day on food and $40 a day on experiences. It could be, we had a really big day of experiences and then we, you know, ate some cheap eats. My best piece of advice though is like, you know, if you can find some cheap eats, there are so many bloggers who have so many good recommendations out there. It's just a matter of finding them. So for me, Googling cheap eats and then the location and then blog with it, that usually gets you a lot of really good recommendations of things that are, you know, under $10 a person that you can do in order to save some money on food.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Kendall Grender from Kendall Travels. Kendall grew up in a family that considered travel for rich people. Until she studied abroad in 2013, she had only been to 4 states and had never been out of the country. Making just $34,000 a year out of graduate school, she made a commitment to see as much of the world as possible. Since then, Kendall has become a pretty savvy budget travel hacker, traveling to 14 countries and 20 US states with her husband, Aspen, for less than $18,000 over the past 5 years in total. She's not a nomad, a vagabond, or a backpacker circumnavigating the globe. Instead, Kendall utilizes budget travel tricks to travel more and inspires others to live life half full too. In this episode, Kendall and I discuss how she and her husband were able to take a month off of work and explore Europe for only $4,000 out of pocket for the whole month. That includes their flights, accommodations, food, excursions, and everything else. We also discuss some credit cards that gave Kendall some free nights at different hotels. Some of my favorites are the World of Hyatt, Marriott Bonvoy Boundless, and ISG Rewards cards, which all come with an anniversary free night certificate in addition to all the free nights that you can get from the intro bonuses. Remember, if you're interested in applying for a new card to earn more points, never, ever, ever apply through Google. Always use a friend or creator's links to help them earn more points or commissions, and we have some links to the different hotel credit cards in the show notes for you as well. And now, on with the show. Hey, Kendall, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hi, I'm glad to be here today.
I'm so excited to have you and to hear all about this awesome trip that you took through Europe on a really incredible budget, where you only spent like $4,000 for the full month in Europe. Is that correct?
That is right. We went to 7 countries, traveled mostly by airfare, and stayed at mostly 5-star luxury hotels and only spent $4,000 by the time we got home on everything. Food, entertainment, all of our transportation, all of our hotels, literally everything we could spend money on was $4,000.
That is amazing. And I'm looking forward to diving into all of the details about that with you. But before we jump into that, tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get into the game of points and miles?
Yeah. So I have been hacking for probably around 10 years without even realizing it for most of that time. When I was in college, I would send my mother flowers from the American Airlines shopping portal and then get a free flight. And really, I had no idea what I was doing for a long time. But I have considered myself a budget traveler for many years now. My husband and I like to go abroad pretty frequently. And for a long time, we didn't have a lot of money to do that. So I did a lot of budget travel hacking, which is more of using services like Scott's Cheap Flights to get really cheap airfare, using promotions in order to get half-price hotels and other ways in order to save thousands of dollars on every single trip we've taken abroad and domestically as well. But recently, the pandemic for me was kind of reframing that to getting more than one or two free flights a year, one or two free hotels a year. And how could I create a Europe for free experience for us? I had known I wanted to quit my job. I had known I wanted to do something new. And I felt like this was the perfect opportunity to really level up my hacking and say, okay, what can I do in order to create a completely free experience? And it seemed like a crazy idea at first. My husband was like, absolutely not. We're not going to do this. There's no way we can do it. What are you thinking? You're absolutely mad. And I probably was at the time mentally in some ways in my life, but we ended up making it work. And for me, that was like the next step in creating a completely or almost free trip compared to just budget travel hacking our way to components being free or really reduced in cost.
So what was that process of hack Europe and all of the planning that went into this? How did you plan your routes, your flights, what countries you were going to visit, hotels? Kind of give us all the details for if somebody wanted to recreate this trip that you did.
Yeah, so I started just as a concept about February and March 2021. And then April, we took out the first card in order to make it happen. So there's a lot of steps that go into creating a trip this big. I mean, there's obviously all the logistics, like of if you own a home, if you have a pet, if you have a job, you know, all of those kinds of components that we definitely considered. But then we had all of the components of, okay, we kind of know we want to go to Eastern Europe. We kind of have an idea of how many points we need based on, you know, I used like the award mapper and got a sense of what hotels were available in all of the countries we were interested in. And then it got a sense of all of the options for air. And so from that, we kind of created an idea of what were the available cards that we could use in order to make that happen. At the time, the Chase Sapphire had the 80,000 point signup bonus when I signed up for that card as part of Europe for free in April 2022, I signed up for that one. And then it went up to 100,000 when my husband got to sign up. So we ended up with 200,000 points plus all of our spend just from getting those cards and referring him. And then we did the same thing with the IHG cards because there's a really big IHG footprint with, I think, a really good redemption rate in Eastern Europe as well as the fourth night free. So we took a lot of advantage of that. And our country is doing four nights so that we got a 25% point basically refund for that. So between those cards and then a few other components, we were basically able to do the trip with five cards. So those cards in the Hilton Aspire were the backbone that created the trip for us. So a lot of work went into that. Obviously, it sounds a lot easier like taking out five cards, but you have to meet the minimum spends. We had some other work we were doing hacking between that as well. But the general sense of it was, you know, about every month and a half, we would finish meeting a minimum spend, and then the other person would sign up for the card. So I would refer my husband, or my husband would refer me based on our timeline to get those points. The other thing that I made sure of is I worked on our airfare first because award availability goes away more quickly than hotel availability. So we made sure that we got our airfare locked in by early fall at the latest. And then we were able to, anytime we got a sign-up bonus that worked towards one of our components for the trip, we booked it immediately. As soon as we got that sign-up bonus in the account, we went online and we booked those components. And then we went back and checked, like with IHG, it's flexible. So it could be 10,000 points one day and then 8,000 the next. And so if it was 8,000 that day, then I would just rebook and save those points.
What airline did you fly and how many points did it take? And how did you do the transfer and the searching for award availability?
Yeah. So we had a few ideas of what we could do, but I ended up getting a Scott's Cheap Flights when they had that really big Europe sale when no one was flying. I think it was like in early September of 2021, when they had all of these amazing deals. So like literally everywhere in Europe. So I booked a flight from Chicago to Rome for $303, per person on American Airlines, and I use Chase points for that. And then I, with everything with COVID, I've been making sure everything is refundable. So I paid more in order to do that. So it was like 74,000, 73,000 Chase points.
Just going through the portal, right? No transfer partners?
Yeah, no transfer partners. We just went through the portal and that worked really well. And it saved us a lot of points actually to do it that way.
That's interesting because most of the time people are saying that they'll save points by doing the transfer, but is it just because there weren't any good transfer options or just because the cash price happened to be much cheaper than normal?
I think it's just the cash price was much cheaper than normal. And that's kind of the way that I like to travel. So I prefer to travel based on where the best deals are and then go from there. So finding $300 airfare to Europe is not that hard. We've flown to Barcelona from Kansas City for $300. We've flown to Germany from Kansas City for $300. We've flown from Chicago to Rome, obviously, for $300. And I think that for me, that's why it's hard for me to always use points for transfers is because, you know, I see people saying, well, I saved $1,000 on my flight to Europe. And it's like, well, yeah, but did you? Because if you just waited or you flew on a positioning flight or you did some of these other hacks, you could have flown for $300. So this idea that, you know, you spent 60,000 points to fly to Europe and you saved $1,000 to me doesn't really translate as well because we've flown so cheaply all over the world.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm very well aware that a lot of influencers will take like a screenshot of the most expensive rate and be like, look, it's $6,000 to do this flight. And okay, it is on that day, but if you just kind of click to the right twice, it's normally a $2,000 flight in business class. So
yeah.
The screenshot looks better though.
Yeah. And maybe if you took like that flight, you know, like there's times where like right now we're going to Peru in November. And so I was looking at flight options and the American Airlines flight that we could take with points is like the only point option. And it's a good option, but like if we paid cash, it would be like $800, but we could take a flight in the morning for $150. So, you know, it's just kind of dependent on lots of factors there. I prefer to pay cash, cheap cash rates for flights as often as I can.
Yeah, if you're really flexible with your travel, that's actually a really good way to go about it is just to set flight alerts or follow Scott's Cheap Flights, Thrifty Traveler, any of those, and just wait for cheap cash fares because a lot of the time, it's going to be a lot easier than trying to find award availability, which may or may never actually come up. So just tracking it by cheap cash fares and doing a revenue-based thing for people who like to do JetBlue or Southwest or any of those other airlines that are going to be revenue-based anyway, it's just better to track cheap flights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I do use points to fly, but it's like when I have to, or like when there's not a really good option, or I do use them on Southwest because like you said, it's a lot easier to use the points because it is based on a cash-based system. But yeah, generally I'll just use Scott's Cheap Flights and I have Thrifty Traveler as well and just kind of track stuff. And the other thing that I like to do, and I think everyone should do with Scott's Cheap Flights and Thrifty Traveler, to have alerts from your home airport. Mine is Kansas City, but then also look at where you can get cheap flights from your home airport and have those alerts as well and take a positioning flight because you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, depending on where you're going and when you're going there.
Absolutely. If you're very obsessed with finding cheap flights from Kansas City, which was me and my family once upon a time, you're not going to find a lot. But if you open yourself up to Chicago or something like that, you're going to have a lot more options.
Yeah. And that's true. Like a lot of people at mid-sized airports across the country. I've been surprised though. Scott's Cheap Flights is like come out in clutch from Kansas City. Like we flew to Belize last year for $130 a person. We flew to Germany for $300 a person. We've flown a lot of places from Kansas City for really affordable rates, but you definitely get more deals from those large airports.
For sure. So once you landed in Europe, kind of walk us through chronologically, what did you do in each city? Which cities did you go to? Transfers and how much did everything cost?
we had no intention to go to Italy, but we got that cheap flight into Rome from Chicago. So we spent 3 days there at the Hyatt. It's right there by the big park, and it is the cheapest Hyatt you can book in Rome at like 15,000 points a night. So we booked that for 3 nights and just kind of did all the super touristy Rome things. And then we took a cheap flight on Czech Airlines to Prague and spent 4 nights there. We booked an Airbnb in Prague. My husband was working while we were traveling, and we also needed to do some laundry. So we tried to book some Airbnbs strategically to do laundry, as well as when he had some big projects and deadlines so that he would have a little bit more space. And so we used the Chase Pay Yourself Back promotion. Was running for 1.25 on Airbnb purchases. And we purchased the Airbnb for the 4 nights there. But then I also, with Airbnb, I like to buy gift cards. So at one point this spring, I had 9X between my Chase Freedom Flex card. I had 5X plus the 4X for the category bonus. And so I would go to the grocery store and get 9X on cards for Airbnb and then use those cards for some of our experiences as well as part of some of our Airbnb stays during the trip. From there, we went to Vienna for 2 nights and stayed at the Andaz, which is one of the best Hyatt redemptions you can get in Europe. I think it's like 8,000 points a night in Vienna. So we stayed there 2 nights before we went to Budapest. We stayed at the Intercontinental there in Budapest for 4 nights using the IHG 4-night increments for the point reduction. And I think it was like 104,000 points. We were right on the river. They upgraded us to an overview of the river room that was really nice. And we really liked that hotel and we liked the location right by the tram. And it was probably our bougiest of the point redemptions during the trip.
You said you were taking the train between these? How did you save on trains?
We use the Omio, O-M-I-O app. And that actually has a Rakuten with it. So I went online and booked those, and then I got like 4% cash back on our train, which isn't great, but it definitely was helpful. And I really like the app too. The interface is really good and it's easy to use. So then we just use the app to, you know, have our train tickets with us. And then we use the Rakuten extension in order to get a little bit of cash back for that.
Did this work all over Europe or it works for specific cities?
Yeah, it works pretty much everywhere in Europe that you need train from point A to point B. We actually only took trains from Prague, Vienna, and Vienna to Budapest. Everything else we flew. So we only used the app and needed train savings for those two portions of the trip. But it works really well because it is hard to save money on train tickets. And I think anything that you can use a browser extension and get cash back for points and miles with it is a good thing.
Do you count a lot of these like cashbacks to offset your total budget, or you're just like, nope, it was $4,000 even before taking into account any of this cashback?
Yeah. So the $4,000 is what we spent. I did get some cashback on Rakuten. I also kept track of all of the points we earn. I used American Airlines shopping portal with Viator and used that in order to get American Airlines miles with some of our experiences we did on the trip. And then used some promotions like the Hyatt 2022 point promotion for parts of the trip as well. So all of the points we earn do obviously have a cash value, and you know, the money I got on Rakuten as well. But I don't count that in the 4,000. That's just money that I can use towards my next trip that I'll save.
If you are listening to this episode thinking, I wish I could travel like this, but I don't know where to start, I offer free credit card consultations by email at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. Additionally, I host a masterclass and group coaching session each month through the Patreon. We've also added a new Patreon feature. Once you've been in the Patreon for 12 consecutive months, I will gift you a vacation voucher to the city of your choice. I've also added an option to sign up for an annual membership. With this option, you will get 2 free masterclasses each year, and you'll get your vacation package voucher upfront. You can find more information about the vacation vouchers, consultations, and more in the show notes. This week's Patreon shoutout goes out to Linda. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community. So where did you go after Budapest?
We flew down to Dubrovnik, Croatia, and we spent 5 nights there. This is the only time we stayed at two different hotels. So we spent the first 3 nights in an Airbnb up in the old town. And it was kind of like up on a hill. It had this beautiful balcony and it was overlooking. You could see the sea. You could see all of the old town from up there. And so we stayed there for 3 nights again with the Chase Pay Yourself Back. And then we had gift cards that I purchased with like 20% discounts from Best Buy and some other things that I used for that. And from there, we actually went and stayed at the Hilton Imperial, which is located right outside of the city walls. And that was probably one of the best hotels we stayed. I got a really good cash rate on the first night. It was like $202. And then the other night was going to be like 600 something. So I used 70,000 Hilton points to pay for that second night. So collectively, it was $202, you know, out of our pocket. And they upgraded us to a nice suite on the top floor. The manager came and made sure everything was fine when we arrived. She actually emailed me beforehand to know our arrival time, let us come in early. They have a really nice lounge there as well. And so that was a really nice way to use my Hilton Aspire card for the free night there, but as well as getting some of those perks from being a Diamond member abroad.
In each of these cities, what were some of the different excursions that you did? Were most of them free or cheap, or were there anywhere you'd say, oh, in this city, it's definitely worth splurging for a particular excursion?
Yeah, we did kind of a mixture. So I'm really big on doing like free things or cheap things to do. I think a lot of people get roped into like, you know, TripAdvisor experiences of like, oh, this is what you're supposed to do in this city. And, you know, you have to spend $50 a person to go and do this. And, you know, we were on $100 a day budget. So, you know, after accounting for our airfare and our hotels, all of our transportation, including transportation between cities, all of our food and all of our experiences had to fit in $100 a day. And so some places that was really easy, but some places that was more difficult. So we like to kind of mix it up with some free activities or things that didn't cost as much, and then splurge based on our savings. So I kept really detailed records in a spreadsheet of exactly how much we spent every day. And then with those savings, then we would use those to make splurge experiences. So we ended up going, while we were in Dubrovnik, to Bosnia on a day trip that was like $70 a person or something. And that's something we couldn't have done on our $100 a day, but we used that savings in order to have those splurge opportunities as well.
What were some of your favorite splurges? Was that Bosnia one the best one?
I mean, that was really neat to go to Mostar and have that experience. I think that for us, like the splurge experiences weren't anything crazy. Like when we were in Cappadocia, we didn't do a hot air balloon flight because we were just really frugal, but we never felt like we missed out on anything. Like we, you know, went in and did the Roman Forum and the Colosseum. We did things that definitely cost money, but we always tried to take it back to the $100 a day.
How about for food? What was kind of the food budget in most of these areas? Was it pretty cheap, or did you have any kinds of hacks that you had to employ in order to save on food?
We definitely, you know, for me, a big thing is like when I see influencers and stuff, they're like, oh, I paid $0. Like, no, you didn't. You have to eat. Like, unless you're just like eating at the lounge, you know, you're going to an all-inclusive.
I think a lot of them pay $0 because it's hashtag sponsored. Like those restaurants are just giving them free food. So that doesn't happen for a normal person.
And that for me is a big component too, where like, I just want to make sure I can help people as much as possible. So like I paid for everything on this trip. I plan to pay for everything on every trip to make sure that I'm always being as, you know, authentic as possible, that people can recreate these experiences.
So where did you go after Dubrovnik?
We flew to Cappadocia. This is one of the only point redeemed flights we did for the trip. So we flew from Dubrovnik. I took advantage of the Singapore Air bonus that was happening at the time. And we only transferred 22,000 Singapore Air miles to fly to Cappadocia. I had 10,000 miles in my account from our honeymoon, like 5 years prior, that were just sitting there because, you know, we had the pandemic and everything. So between the $22,000 and the $10,000, that was all I needed with the bonus that it offered for us to both fly there. And those flights were going to be like $700 because it was off season. So it really was not a good time to use cash between the two of us, $700. So we used points and flew there and stayed in Cappadocia for 3 nights. We stayed in a really nice boutique hotel, but they had a really nice Turkish breakfast every morning. So we didn't eat lunch any day because it was just huge. So we would have that and then kind of do some stuff there around town. And we went out on a big excursion that was really affordable that I used Viator. And I got, I think at that time they had like nine American Airlines miles per dollar spent or something. So we did that excursion. But from there, then we flew on Turkish Airlines with just a cash rate to Istanbul. There's really cheap cash rates between those areas every single day. It was like $30 a person. And then we spent 5 nights in Istanbul at the Holiday Inn there. At that point in the trip, it was kind of funny because we had been staying at such nice places that like the Holiday Inn was like the worst hotel we stayed at. And it was so nice. It was just like kind of a shock to the system when we were staying, you know, at these like luxury places up until then. And then spent 5 nights in Istanbul. We used 4 nights with points from IHG. And then the 5th night, we paid cash so that we got the 4-night increment with the points. And then we flew from there back to Rome for 3 more nights before coming home.
That sounds like an incredible trip. I want to circle back to the thing you were saying about boutique hotels. I know a lot of people do really obsess about, oh, I need to stick with just Hyatt hotels or just Marriott hotels so I can get my status. But sometimes you kind of have to weigh like, how much inconvenience are you putting on yourself in order to stay loyal to that one chain? And is it really worth it just to get that status? Sometimes the answer is yes, but sometimes the answer is no, especially because if you just wanted to book through something like the Capital One portal, you're earning 10 points per dollar on hotels. You can stay at boutique hotels, and then you can use those 10 points per dollar on flights and possibly get an awesome redemption just by using those Capital One points on flights too. Or if you wanted to just go through hotels.com, you get your 10th night free, and the amount of that hotel night is going to be the average of however much you spent on the last 9. So that gives you a lot more variability as well and a lot more options for different hotels you can stay at so that you're not an hour outside of the area of town you want to actually be in, just so that you can stay with the brand you want. So I like that you gave options for lots of different chains throughout this trip rather than saying, go Hyatt or go bust.
Yeah. Well, and Hyatt doesn't have as much of a footprint in Eastern Europe either. So like, you know, there's not as many options in that respect as well. For me, it's more about what fits best, both in terms of points and in terms of like the experience that you want to create. So, you know, the IHG Intercontinental right on the shoreline there was the experience that I wanted to create. And I do like the IHG program. I think that the 4th night free with points with your card is a great perk that a lot of people don't, that is underutilized. And I think that in the States, IHG probably isn't the best for point redemptions. But once you go abroad, you can find some really good sweet spots. Like we stayed in Barcelona at the Kimpton there for like 40,000 points a night. And I think we stayed 4 nights and got the 4th night free. So, you know, there's like really good redemptions if you just can find them with IHG.
That's a really good point too. I still have like the old version of the IHG card that's only $49 instead of $89, but I don't have access to that 4th night free perk. And there are definitely times when I'm like, is it worth upgrading my card? I haven't done it yet, but with all of the new changes IHG has made to their program, I think about it more now. I still haven't done it.
It's definitely one of those things too, where like, for me, I go to probably more obscure places. I'm not a Western European traveler all the time. And IHG has the best footprint to go to a lot of different places. And that for me is a really big perk of their program, of why I stay there, why I will continue to stay there, and why I like the free night certificate. A lot of people say, oh, well, I can't use it. There's not a lot of good redemptions with it. Like, well, maybe there's just not good redemptions in London or Paris or, you know, New York, but there are good redemptions. You just have to know where to go to find them.
Any other tips that you have for just saving money as somebody's traveling through Europe? Because I think this is one of those trips that people think about, oh, I can just go through Europe for a month. Oh, it's going to cost $12,000 or something completely ridiculous. Any other tips you have for saving? Because I know we've covered flights, hotels, excursions, food. Is there any other expenses that came up that you weren't really expecting?
I would say that there are expenses I wasn't expecting. I think that Croatia has gotten a lot more expensive than it used to be, as well as the Czech Republic and Prague, but that's still pretty affordable. But I think my advice is, like, if you go off the beaten path, if you go to places that there are not as many Western tourists, you'll find some gems, for one. You'll save a lot of money on hotels, food, all of those kinds of expenses to stay in those places. If you don't have to see the Eiffel Tower, if you don't have to even go to Rome, if you go to some of these other places, you'll definitely save a lot of money. And then if you fly there and you just with points and then you pay cash for everything, you'll still end up with a much cheaper trip.
Throughout this whole trip, you said you were keeping a spreadsheet. How much did you save? Because you said you spent $4,000.
I was really meticulous at the start of, like, you know, plus this amount, minus this amount on everything. And during the trip, there are definitely components like that I'm like, oh yeah, you definitely could do this for this price. And then there's other things that's like, I could have even saved money. But, you know, sometimes you just like life and you just splurge, or you say, I don't want to use points, I want to use cash. But I think in total, the entire trip would have been over $15,000 based on the 5-star hotels we were staying at. That isn't even including, though, if that airfare wasn't $303. So if that airfare had been, you know, a typical price, it would be even more than that. But I'm not saying that, you know, it needed to be $15,000. I don't need to stay at a 5-star hotel. I didn't need to overlook the river. I didn't need to do some of these components of the trip. But the points and miles definitely helped make that experience a component of it.
That's a really good point where you're like, well, I didn't need all this stuff. But sometimes cost is not the only factor that you should have, especially if it's a once in a lifetime thing where you spend a month in Europe away from work. Then, I mean, what's really the point of dragging yourself to the other side of the world just to do everything as cheap as possible and to miss out on all of these experiences? You kind of have to weigh what's your budget with what's the experience that you want to have, and then figure out a strategy to make it happen rather than saying, oh, I found some super cheap flight to a country that I didn't really want to go to, and then I ate oatmeal every day, but I did it. Like, that's not a story anybody wants to experience. So I think that you have a really good balance of, here are the experiences that you wanted to have, here are the excursions you wanted to do, the foods you wanted to eat, the sites, hotels, and really just scenery that you wanted to be around. And then getting that to fit into a budget, because I'm sure somebody listening to this is probably like, I could do it for $50 a day. All you have to do is sleep in a hostel room with 12 other people and eat gruel. Okay, but we don't all want to do that. So there's always a range of different experiences from super budget to super luxury. And I think this one was a really good balance between the two.
Yeah, I think that was. And, you know, some people ask, like, did you feel like $100 a day was, like, constraining you? Like, I would get those messages on Instagram all the time. And no, the answer is no, because we had, you know, nice accommodations. We had all of our airfare. We were able to kind of have a give and take there that worked out well for us. And $100 a day in Istanbul is not the same as $100 a day in Amsterdam. And so that's the other component to keep in mind, you know, like $100 in Istanbul, we were eating for like $9 for both of us for dinner. And we had good food, you know, but like $100 in Amsterdam would be a very different experience to have. obviously, when you're on a much longer trip, you have to budget more. You have to look at your finances. I didn't have an income for that month, so we really had to stick to a really strict budget. But in general, what that allowed us to do is make sure that what we were doing is what we wanted to do. That it wasn't just because everyone said you should do this or because someone is selling you some kind of tour right there. Well, it makes you look at all of the different kinds of opportunities that you could do. Instead of going on a tour, we downloaded the Rick Steves audio guide and did self-guided tours at different components of the trip. So we saved a lot of money doing that. And it gave us a different kind of experience than we would have had on a guided tour at the same time. So it's just looking at the world a little bit differently, but we never felt like we were missing out.
Awesome advice. And speaking of great advice, what would you say is your number one travel hacking tip for listeners today that fits on an Instagram quote card?
I think that my number one advice is to use airline subscription services and book your destinations based on deals that are available. What that's going to do is allow you to see places you never would have expected to see before. It will get you going places during shoulder season a lot of the time where you can save money anyways. And then you should save your points for your hotels once you get there. That's the way I mostly travel. I think that that is what saves us the most money and makes us see the world in a way we wouldn't have otherwise.
That is fantastic advice. And can you give shout outs to a couple of people on the internet that other people should go follow for even more points and miles tips?
Yeah, I have three that I'm going to recommend. Points for the Memories, Lori's Travel Hacks, and Amanda Exploring. They're all great accounts. They're showcasing different ways that you can use points and miles as well as just budget travel advice to save money and travel more frequently.
Fantastic. And where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on Instagram at Kendall Travels. It's K-E-N-D-Y-L Travels. I also have a blog at life-half-full.com. So check me out on Instagram, send me a message, and we can hang out.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Kendall, for coming onto the show today and telling us all about your fantastic trip throughout Europe and how somebody can do all of these luxury experiences and see all of these different countries while sticking to an approximately $100 a day budget.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!